Hey everyone, once again, and we're going to be in the book of Philippians this morning, in Philippians chapter 1, and so if you begin turning there. But just one few things I'd like to say. The visitor cards for visitors here, they are right in front of you. They should be in the pew in front of you, and if not, just raise your hand, we'll get those to you. But visitor cards there, if you will fill those out so we can have a record of your visit, that would be great. And then those pencils I did give in the class, don't worry about them, just keep them. Just keep those pencils, and if you're a member here, just keep them in the pew, whatever, so you can have them. But we'll be in the book of Philippians. There's not two or three Philippians. First Philippians chapter 1. I'm doing it again. Man alive. Philippians 1, 21 through 23. It can't be genetic, can it? Philippians 1. All right, so we're going to read that set of verses there. But I want us to think about our mindset this morning. Our mindset as far as life and death goes. So how do we look at life? How do we look at death? We're going to talk about those things. But Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23 is going to give us a good idea of how we should be looking at those things. And of course, this is Paul talking here. So keep that in mind as well. Paul says here, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." I want us to think for a moment of what Paul just said. Would we say that same thing? Basically, what he's saying here is he's trying to decide, should he stay here on this earth, keep doing the work for God, and keep helping brethren, keep helping people to be saved, or should he go to be with Christ? Because he knows that the reward is there, and that is far better. And the reason I want us to think about that is because sometimes we forget about that reward. And sometimes we think the reward is not up in heaven, but it's here on this earth. And maybe even subconsciously we start thinking like that. We become afraid of death. We don't want to die. We don't want to be in that deathbed. We don't want to breathe our last breath. And we get so afraid of that. But for us as Christians, death is not an end. I want you to think of death as a gateway. Death is a door. Death is a door to the next life. Death is a door to the afterlife, paradise for us as Christians, heaven for us as Christians. It's a door. It's a gateway. And this life is a path to get to that door. So don't think of death as something necessarily bad. Now, for the world, is death something bad? Can it be? Yeah. It can be something bad because they're not going to heaven if they don't obey God. If they don't follow the gospel, they're not going to heaven. But for us as Christians, we shouldn't be afraid of those things. I want you to think of the best things in life. Think of the very best things that you can have in this life. The best material possessions that you can have. The best house that you have. Think about your house. Think about your cars. Think about your trucks. The best things that you can have in life. Maybe think about all the wealth you can accumulate. Maybe you start a business, you get all that money, and then you start buying all these things that you want. Think about all that wealth, all that pleasure that you can have. And we're not necessarily talking about bad pleasure. We're talking about just pleasure in general, just, you know, good pleasure. Because certainly life has good things to offer. It has blessings, and those blessings are from God. God has made all these things around us, and we use them to our advantage, and rightfully so. Heaven, though, is supposed to be better than that. Heaven is supposed to be better than anything in this life has to offer. It's supposed to be better than any blessing that this life can possibly give us. Heaven is not something that we should be afraid of going to. Death and getting through death and going to heaven, going to paradise, that's not something we should be afraid of. Heaven is something that is so beyond what we can even comprehend. Heaven is something that is so beautiful, we can't comprehend it. So the book of Revelation, if you go throughout that book, sometimes it'll talk about heaven. It'll talk about descriptions of heaven. It'll try to describe to you in physical terms that city of heaven, which honestly, when we think about a city, we think about something with boundaries, with something with limits, with walls. But heaven is not something with walls and with limits. And how do we know that? If you go to the book of Revelation, you start to read about how God looks at man and how God looks at the universe. He says that he can see through a sea of glass. He looks through a sea of glass. And what that means is that the universe to God is like this. Do you realize that? God's infinite everything. How back in the Old Testament they would say, O Lord, how the heaven of the heaven and heavens could not contain you. Can't contain you because you're infinite. You're everywhere. God, what can contain you? Well, that's really the infinite of heaven. The infiniteness of heaven, rather, the wording there. But heaven has no boundary. It has no limits. It has no ends to what you can think of as the best thing possible. Heaven is better than all of these things in this life. All the maybe TV shows or sports that we can watch, all of maybe the games that we can play, all the different things that we can do, maybe all the enjoying times with our family. Guess what? Heaven's going to have all of our family there, all of our Christian family, all those who even went on before who were children of God. It's going to have all those people. We're not going to have to worry about the pain, the sorrow, the tears. We're not going to have to worry about depression, anxiety. Guess what? All of it's going to be gone in heaven. It's not going to be there. For us as Christians, we're going there. For the world, they're not. That's why we have to try to save them. We have to try to get them to the same place. They're not going to heaven. They're not going anywhere good. We know that, Christians. We have to help them. But for us, we are going to a place that is so much better than anything this life has to offer. That place of heaven has no limits. This universe is nothing in comparison to heaven. Nothing. Heaven is like this. Our universe is like this. There's no limits. Do you see? It's a spiritual kingdom. And even for us going to heaven, our mansions, all those different things like that, all the beauty, all the glory, those are all things given in scriptures for us to think about, for us to remind ourselves of daily of that hope. Because one of the greatest things that we can think of as Christians on a daily basis in our walk with God, one of the greatest things that any man or woman of faith all throughout the scriptures tried to constantly remind themselves of was heaven. The promise of heaven, the gifts of God, the blessings of God. If we think about Israel, they were reminding themselves about how they would inherit Canaan, the promised land. We think about for us as Christians, Jesus time and time again promised heaven to Christians, to those who would follow him. The apostles constantly kept trying to reaffirm it. You're going to heaven. Don't worry about death. Heaven is going to be so much better than anything this life has to offer. Paul understood this. We need to understand that too, Christians. To live is Christ. For us in life, our entire being, our entire point of living is to serve Christ. And we need to understand that. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing because we have the promise of heaven. We have the peace that surpasses understanding. We have all these different things that come with Christ. Turn to James chapter 4 now. James chapter 4, verse 14. A common verse that we know, but this verse really puts into perspective what our life is. James 4, 14. It says there, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Go back to verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. How many of us have been not guilty of that, but have done that? Well, tomorrow we're going to go do this. Next week we're going to go do this. We have all these activities planned. Next year we have all these activities planned. Maybe 10 years from now, we're going to do all of this. Do you know when Jesus is coming again? No, we don't know when Jesus is coming again. Guess what? A week from now or a day from now, Jesus could come again and all those plans get stumped. All those plans of yours, all those activities you were going to do, where are they now? Because Jesus has come again. Christians, you're going to heaven. Don't worry about all those activities. There's no reason to worry and fret about all the things of this life and all the things that you're going to plan because heaven is right around the corner any day now. Don't worry about those things. There's no reason to. There's no reason to stress yourself about all that nonsense, really. It's not nonsense to plan things, to do activities, but what I'm trying to say is it's nonsense in comparison to the gifts and the glory of heaven that is coming to us as Christians. All those apostles, think for a moment, they all lived for Christ. Historically, we know that every one of them gave their life for Christ. And most likely the only one that didn't die by a brutal death by the hands of persecutors was the Apostle John. He was the only one most likely that didn't die from persecution. Well, all the other ones did. They most likely did die from persecution. That's historical evidence, not in the not scriptural evidence, but historical evidence. So it may or may not be true. But most likely they died that way. And we know that their lives certainly exemplified that. Their ministries certainly exemplified that. That they were living for Christ. That they were doing all of that work for God. If you go into the book of Acts, you read all those Acts of the Apostles. You read about all those different examples, all those stories that happened, the healings. And not just the healings, but the healing spiritually. How they were bringing people to Christ. How they were telling people the plan of salvation. The people were responding. The people were being baptized. They were repenting of their sins. They were following Christ. And those things were amazing. There were so many people on those days. If you think about the day of Pentecost, think about how many people were there. How many people responded. How many people they baptized. How much of that is going on today is one thing to think about. But keep in mind, these apostles, they made their entire lives about Christ. What do we make our life about? Do we have all of this in our lives for what we want to do and our schedule, all scheduled out for the things that we want to do? All of this amount and then one little stretch here at the end is all about what we're going to do for God. Think about that for a second. How much do we give to God? How much time? How much effort? How much work? How much love? How much anything do we give to our God on a daily basis? Guess how much effort, how much love, how much work God does for you on a daily basis. He does every amount of effort. Tell me a time when God's not there for you when you pray to Him. When He's not doing what's best for you as a Christian. Tell me a time when that is. You can't find a time. There's no close sign. It's always open. You pray to God at 3 a.m., He's going to hear you. You pray to God at 7 a.m., He's going to hear you. You pray to God at 6 p.m., He's going to hear you. There's not a time. There's not a place. There's not any amount of maybe going under the ocean, going in space. If you go anywhere in this universe, God's still going to hear you. Anywhere. That's whenever God is open. When are you open? When am I open? When are we open for God? How much do we give to God? To live is Christ. That's what we should make our focus, brethren. Are we worried about secular things that don't matter? Are we worried about what we're planning so much that we forget about God? Are we worrying so much about getting the next material possession that we forget about God and that hope of heaven, the blessings of heaven? The eternity that we have coming up for us Christians is far much better than anything this life has to offer. You have to constantly remind yourself of that or you will forget it. You will forget about that hope of heaven. And Christians, we've been guilty of that. I know that we have, all of us. We've been guilty of forgetting about our hope. And then we get depressed, we get sad, we get upset because maybe people are hurting us, maybe persecution's coming to us, maybe it's just difficulties in life, simply. Well, what we remind ourselves of is heaven. What we do is we pray to God. We remind ourselves of all those rewards that we have, all those things coming, the eternity that we have coming. And then it cheers us up, and rightfully so. That's why God certainly told us in the Scriptures and told us by example and command to remind yourself of that hope. Matthew 6, 33 through 34. Let's turn there now. Excuse me. Matthew 6, 33 through 34. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You think Jesus knows better? Yeah, I'd say Jesus knows better. I'd say the perfect man and God Himself knows better. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what you're going to wear tomorrow, how people are going to look at you tomorrow, how people are going to maybe attack you tomorrow. Don't worry about all that nonsense. Worry about today, because today is the day of salvation. Possibly, Jesus could come again today. Whenever I said tomorrow Jesus could come or next week, you ever think about in 5 seconds Jesus could come? In 1 second? No, He didn't come. 1 second? 2 seconds? 3 seconds? When is He coming? Who can tell it? Who can say? No, no one. So, when do we have to be ready? All the time. What do we have to be worrying about first? God. Serving God. Doing the will of God. Loving our God as He loves us. That's what we got to worry about. Don't let yourself fret about these things in life and get worried and stressed about everything that's happened and all these past things that's happened. There's just things in life that you can't control, people. There's things in life you can't control. That's no one's fault. That's no one's fault. But that's just life. And what we have to do, Christians, is we have to focus on our souls. Sometimes we just have to set everything aside and we just have to focus on what's best for my soul. What's best for me? What's best for my family? But first, think about yourself. Because ultimately, you, as yourself, personally, will stand before God in the day of judgment. So think about your soul. Think about what you're doing for God. Think about what God thinks of you. About the love that you have for Him. All the different amounts of faith that you give to Him. All the different amounts of prayer that you give to Him. Do you really live for Christ? Or do you come in at 3:30 p.m. and then you end at 10 p.m. No. The job of a Christian, the work of a Christian, is a 24/7 job. And it's not so much a job, Christians. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's a constant 24/7 daily activity, a lifestyle. So we don't need to be worrying about worldly things so much and what's happened in the past. It's gone. The past is dead. Leave it dead. Leave it in the past. Leave it gone. You can't change it. You got to worry about what? The now and the future for yourself's sake. If you don't worry about that, you're going to worry about the past so much that it takes you down. It takes you down spiritually. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Don't let yourself start questioning God because of the things that have happened in your life. Let's turn to the book of 1 John. Chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. 1 John 4, 17 through 19. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Did you see what verse 18 just said there? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Did the apostles show fear? Sometimes they probably did, but for the most part in the scriptures, they didn't show fear. Why? Because fear could involve torment. Sometimes we get so scared of things in this life, and we get so anxious about things, anxiety being things to come, depression being things from the past. We get so depressed, we get so anxious, that we forget about God, that we forget about the deliverance of God. We get so afraid. And I know exactly how that is. I've been through plenty of those times too. Yeah, we're going to have the hard times. We're going to have so many times where we're scared, where we're alone. But guess what, Christians? Take refuge. Take good joy in this. God has you. Do you know what that means? God has you. It means He's protecting you. It means He's taking care of you. It means He's giving you what you need. And if it's your time to go, that means He's taking you home to heaven. Look at life like that. To live is Christ, and to die is what? To die is gain. To die is not loss for us as Christians, for us as children of the Most High God. To die is gain. To die is far better, as Paul said. Far better. Going to heaven, leaving this life, the struggles of it, all the pain and suffering, heaven is far better. And that's why Paul also said, don't look to things that are behind. Look to things that are ahead. Think about all those things that Paul did in his past life. All the suffering that he caused other people. All the suffering that he caused Christians. Paul, the apostle. Think about all that pain that he gave to people. How he would take people from their homes that were trying to do what was necessary for the cause of Christ. He would take them from their homes, put them in chains, deliver them to the Jews, deliver them to the Romans. He would attack them. He would persecute them. He would kill them. He would slaughter Christians, and the Jews that were with him would do it. And that same guy, Paul, who did all that, said, forget those things that are in the past. And he was basically trying to say throughout the epistles, I'm the chief of sinners. Look, people, I'm the chief of sinners. I've done it. I've done it all. I was not only persecuting other people, I was not only being a bully to other people, but I was doing it to the church. I was being a bully to the church, and now look at me. I'm an apostle of Christ. That's what Paul was trying to say. So Christians, don't think about the past so much. Don't think about what's dead and gone. Think about what's alive, what is living, what could live, the future and the now. Your soul, care for your soul. Care for your soul in the now and for the future. If you don't care for your soul, if you don't put the necessary food into your mind, that spiritual food that you need every week, every day, if you don't put the spiritual food that you need in there, you're in danger. Your soul's in danger. Satan could come around any corner of your life, any corner. And he's right there waiting for you in your weak times. And guess what? He's going to take advantage of you every time that he can, because his mission is to destroy you, as the book of Revelation says. And he will do it. Make no mistake. He will do it to any one of us Christians. But keep in mind, back in our main text, that to live is Christ and to die is gain. We need to really understand what that means. Don't worry about sustaining these physical bodies so much. Do we need to sustain them? Absolutely. We need to eat. We need to drink water and things like that. I'm not talking about alcohol. We need to drink water. We need to sustain our bodies. We need to find shelter. We need to have a house over our heads, maybe whatever it is. Live in some kind of motel, whatever it is, just sustain yourself. The apostles didn't even have houses most of the time. But guess what? They sustained themselves for the cause of Christ. Their life was about doing the will of God. Do you think they were happy doing the will of God? Yeah. Why would they do it if not? They were singing songs. They were happy. They were praying to God, even in prison. Would you do that? Would you be singing songs and praying to God in prison? Happy and rejoicing because you suffered tribulation for the cause of Christ. I hope that can be said about everyone in this room. That we would be happy that we're suffering for Christ's cause. I hope. If that's not the case, take a look at your heart and ask yourself why. Why is your outlook that death is bad, something that is bad, Christians? Death is not bad for us as children of God. Death is a gain. Death is a reward. It's a gateway. It's that path, that direct path. The thing, when we instantly close our eyes, guess what? You're in paradise. It doesn't take a process. It doesn't take an amount of time before you get to paradise. Well, you got to be carried there, so it's going to take some time to get there. You know, the train station has come. Well, you missed it, so hold on about 5 more minutes and there's going to be another train coming. That's not how it works. We're talking about spiritual things here. This is heaven. No. You're going. As soon as you close your eyes, breathe your last breath, you're going somewhere. You're going somewhere. The question is, where are you going? Keep those things in mind, Christians. How do we look at life? Proverbs 17:3. I'll go ahead and read it for you. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but they never... but the Lord tests the hearts, rather. This life, look at it as a test. Look at it as something that we have to pass, as something that we have to pass to get to that ultimate reward. If you think about a test back in school, it doesn't last, does it? It's something that happens for a time. You're tested for a time, and not that God's test is like a school test, certainly not. It's not even close in comparison, but just by example. A test in school, you'd take it, you'd fret about it, you know, you'd worry about it, and then you take the test, and then after you pass the test, or maybe you don't or whatever, at least you're just relieved that what? It's over. That the test is over. Well, it's the same thing for heaven. You're going to be relieved and in rest for eternity that the test is over. The life that you were tested in so much and had to suffer by Satan, it's over. You don't have to worry about it anymore. And the people who are up there crying out, Lord, how long, as the book of Revelation says. The children of God who are already there, who have already gone on, crying that out, guess what? That's going to be us too. Not sitting there as robots saying, Lord, how long? Lord, how... No. We're going to have our beings. We're going to be us. There'll be free will in heaven. Why would God give free will on earth if He's not going to give it in heaven? We're not going to be like robots, and don't ever think of heaven like that. We're not going to be robots. That's a silly thing. If you think God is like that, you're terribly wrong. He would never do that to His children. When we get to heaven, we're going to experience rest. We're going to experience the peace. We will experience the happiness. All of those things will be experienced as you experience things now. There will be beauty and perfection to you. There will be no any amount of strife or pain, no tears, no worrying about a test coming up, no anything like that. Heaven is far better than anything this life has to offer. So to die is gain. That test is this life. And as we go through this life, life is as a vapor, right? Little time passes away. So life is just temporary. But we need to keep in mind that the afterlife is eternal. It's something that doesn't end. It's something that, for God being eternal, He didn't even have a beginning. He doesn't have an end. And so for us to join God in that state, we're going to be eternal like Him. We're not going to have an end. We did have a beginning, but we will not have an end. So we will be eternal just like Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 14. Mention just a couple things and then we'll be done here. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 14. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. That's the same guy Paul writing there. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. I don't want you to not have this in your mind whenever you should. I want you to understand that concerning those who have fallen asleep, concerning those children of God that have fallen asleep, they're in heaven. Concerning those who fell asleep that didn't have God, they're not in heaven. But guess what? For you, don't sorrow as others who have no hope. You have hope. Care for yourself first. You can't help other people if you don't help yourself first. Care for your soul. Care for your soul while you can. And don't sorrow as others who have no hope. That's the message here. Always keep in mind and remind yourself on a daily basis of the hope that you have that Jesus has given you and that the Father has given you. Keep that in mind, Christians, because if you forget it, I guarantee you Satan's around the corner. And he's going to try to get you. Be watchful, Christians. Don't let that happen. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 through 10. Just a little bit over. Read that with me. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. When He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Go to verse 11. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. Pray always, because that judgment day is coming. Make sure that you are always ready to go, because that judgment day is coming. And make sure that to live is Christ, and that to die for you is gain. If it's not gain, be scared. If you are not a Christian, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, if you have not carried out the plan of salvation, be scared, because the day is coming. And today, guess what, is the day of salvation. If you have never been baptized, if you have never obeyed that will of God, you are not a Christian. That is something to be concerned about. That's something to worry about right now. You have to obey that will of God. Follow the plan of salvation. Believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you believe that, be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as the Son of God before men. And then be baptized, immersed into water, to be remissed of your sins and to be added to God's kingdom. And then remain faithful unto death, and He'll give you heaven. If you have not done that, if you have not followed that plan, you're not a Christian. I want you to understand what I'm saying. If you haven't followed that plan, you're not a Christian. How many times do I need to say it? I'm not trying to be whatever. I'm trying to make sure that you understand, people. If you haven't followed that plan, if you aren't baptized into Christ's baptism as we talked about in the class, you're not a Christian. You're not going to get gain after this life. Do something about that now. Stop waiting. Stop waiting for that time to come, the judgment day to come, when you're not ready. Because did you just read what that said? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. You understand how important that is? To live as Christ, no, you're not doing it. To die is gain. No, that's not going to happen. To die is suffering for you. If you are a Christian, though, if you become a Christian, today, to die will be gain. Become a Christian. If you believe Jesus is the Christ, become a Christian. Stop waiting. You may not have tomorrow to do it. You may not have 3 seconds from now to do it. Be ready for the Lord to come back. He could come back at any time. Live for the now and for the future. Those are my words of encouragement to you today, brethren. And I'm going to read one last thing because I need to read this to you. Philippians 3:12-16, and then we're going to be finished. Philippians 3:12-16. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Are we to look towards the past? If Paul looked towards the past, that man couldn't have lived with himself. Do you realize that? If Paul the Apostle looked towards his past, that man couldn't have lived with himself. And some of us, if we look towards our past, maybe we couldn't live with ourselves. So what do we look for? What do we look towards? What do we look at? The now and the future. That's what's alive. The past is dead. People have made their choices. The past can't be changed. People made their choices. That's it. It's gone. But the now and the future. Take joy and refuge in the now and the future and in God, because God has given that to you. Take advantage of the now. Don't let it fly and be in the past, because it's flying. Life is like a vapor. If you're not a Christian, I hope you take that invitation today. If you are a Christian and you have sinned at all, you need to get that sin out of your life. Get it out. Get rid of it. We will pray with you if you come to the front as we're about to stand and sing. If you're struggling with anything in this life, because we all do, don't let it get the best of you. Get prayers from your brethren. Let us pray with you. Let us help you. And don't be overcome by stress and anxiety and depression. Don't be overcome by that. Focus on what? Your home, your reward, Christ, your brethren, the love that you have in life, the blessings that you have in life. Focus on all that, not on the past. It's gone. It's gone. That's the cold, hard truth for you, Christians and friends. It's gone. If you have a need this morning, please do come to the front as we stand and as we sing.
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record will be. Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will your answer be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? Sadly, you'll stand if you're unprepared. Trembling, you'll fall on your knee. Facing the sentence of life or of death, what will that sentence be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? Now is the time to prepare, my friend. Make your soul spotless and free. Washed in the blood of the crucified one, He will your answer be. What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be?
You may be seated. 300.